If only life were a straight path to our desired destination, wouldn't life be so much easier? Yeah, maybe. But those unexpected zigzags in our path teach us that life's tough struggles have greater purpose than we ever imagined. Stories and strategies are our focus for season 4. Zigzag in One host, Melanie Brown, chats with courageous women who share their stories of encountering zigzags and how they fought to overcome them. Be assured, their stories will inspire and encourage you. But we know warm and fuzzy feelings aren't enough to equip you to fight those challenging zigzags in your path. So, this season, our guests are joining us for another episode to share strategies, mindsets, and habits that strengthened and empowered them during their toughest seasons. Join us in declaring, zigzags may interrupt our path, but they will not deter us. We will keep moving forward.
Welcome to the Zigzag in One podcast. Last week, I shared Jody Hudson's story interview. That's episode 67, in case you missed it. Jody's interview was a tough one about her daughter Alex's 10-year fight against Lyme disease. In it, Jody described her pain and grief after Alex's passing. What comforts her the most is that Alex reminds her that she isn't far by the bluebird that appears quite often. While Jody admits Alex's passing was her greatest hurt, she also admits that it led to her greatest ministry. Jody joins me again today to share the mindset she chose after she worked through her grief. As she puts it, she didn't want to be known as the grief girl. I'm excited for you to hear Jody describe why going forward, she wants others to see God shining in her instead. This mindset is one each of us can adopt, as sharing God's light will positively impact everyone we encounter. Before I invite you to listen to Jody's interview, I wanted to thank you for joining me for season 4. I hope you've enjoyed these interviews as much as I have. Today's interview with Jody is the last one of season 4, but I can't wait to be back with you again for season 5 in January. Now, it's time to join me for my conversation with Jody Hudson. Jody, it's so good to have you back again.
Oh, thank you for having me back. I've enjoyed it for sure.
We're going to talk about your mindset during the time of Alex's journey. And if the listeners have not listened to your story interview, I encourage them to go back and make sure that they listen to it so that they have good context for what we're about to talk about. We're going to focus on your mindset during that journey, but also your mindset after she passed. Let's dive in and let's talk about the mindset that you had during her illness.
My mindset was a mindset of a parent and of a mindset that everything can be fixed, because as parents, we fix everything. So it was a mindset of I can fix this. And it was a mindset of making everything into a project, right? Okay, Alex has this illness. I need to reach out to doctors. I need to go through these steps. So it was very kind of clinical, scientific, parent-ish, if that makes sense.
It does. But you also, as I read the book, it was a lot of bolstering yourself to be strong for your daughter. I know that took a lot of energy and mental fortitude on your part. How did you grow during her journey as it relates to what you know about life, what you know about struggles? Tell me what you're thinking.
So I definitely grew in my journey with God. I definitely grew in my journey of learning to surrender. We always want to be in control of a situation. I'm a Virgo. I'm career oriented. I've always just gone for a goal and have achieved it, right? This was so tough for me because it was something that I couldn't control. And so I had to learn to give up and to surrender that control. And my mantra was, Jesus, I trust in you. Ooh. And it got me through every day. I'm like, okay, things are really bad right now. Like I can't fix this. She's, you know, spiraling. She's in and out of hospitals. Jesus, I trust in you. And letting go of that control and surrendering to God was this push and pull, this tug of a journey throughout. But the minute I just kept putting that trust back in him, I felt calm. I felt a peace of serenity. And that's what I really encourage anybody who's listening. When you are facing those demons and challenges, let it go. What's the expression? Let go, let God. Let go, let God, because God's got it under control from the beginning to the end.
I think that that is very wise. I do know that there are some people that have a hard time with the idea of let go and let God, because it feels like you're just flippantly just giving it to him. And you and I both know from the struggles that we've gone through, it's not easy to do that. But the release and the surrender, as you spoke of, is powerful in what it does when we let go and let God take over that control. So I loved your description of that. Now let's move forward a little bit and talk about Alex's passing and the grief and the disappointment, of course, that you felt after her passing. What was your mindset like then?
Oh, it was all over the place. When I knew that Alex was not turning the corner and that I was going to be losing her, I had to really dig deep into my faith and know we are all children of God. And God gave me Alex for 22 years, and I had to rest in that and be thankful for that, right? To have those 22 years with her, and knowing that she was moving on to a much greater, grander plan that I could even imagine and know. But she was my daughter. I mean, we did everything together, and it was part of my soul that left when she left this earth. It was a lot of pain, anger, not resentment at God, but a lot of, why me? Don't we always ask that question when we're going through things and you look around and you think, oh, God, my neighbors have it so much better than me, or this person has it so much better than me. We don't know what goes on behind closed doors, right?
Exactly.
But I did. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, why did this happen to me? And, you know, we went through a divorce with the family. We just had so many things like going against us. And I just felt like it was another thing going against us. But I took comfort in knowing that, wow, Alex accomplished in 22 years, which most of us don't do our whole lifetime, and how blessed she was that she got called up early. And now I needed to, she set an example for me, and I needed to move forward with grace, move forward to continue her legacy, and move forward with how God wants me to act and to be, and to continue to give him glory and show others how I can show up amidst the pain and the grief and the sorrow.
I think that's really where I wanted to land and really dive deep into, is how we navigate the grief and not linger there entirely too long. Now, there's no magic number of days or months or years that grief should last, and I'm not insinuating that at all, but there is the possibility that we could remain there and our life just doesn't move forward. How did you work through it and then get to the point where you're saying to yourself, I've got to keep moving forward?
You know, Alex showed me how to do that in her, you know, parting gift, when she beautifully showed me where she was going by her smile when she saw Jesus right before she passed. She gave me this incredible gift to be able to move forward and not to sit and wallow in the humanness of it all, the grief. And I didn't want to be defined as a grief girl. Everything that Alex went through and all the pain that she endured, that was hard stuff. I mean, yes, I lost a child, but seeing what Alex went through, I felt like I would disrespect her if I just, you know, wallowed in that grief and in that darkness. I had to make something out of her life, something out of that, you know, moment when she passed. So I really just embraced the situation. I drove deeper with my faith with God and said, okay, help me to truly create some purpose from this pain, because I don't want to be identified as a grief girl. I don't want to be pitied upon. I want to have this moment help others that are going through challenges in their lives. And I want to be that example to others that look at what she went through, but yet she shows up every day and she's positive and she shows light, and I see God shining through her. And that's what was going to identify me, not a grief girl status.
I've never heard grief girl, but I am totally relating to what you're saying in that you didn't want that to be your identity.
No.
And I respect that and admire that, because I haven't lost a child. And I am so sorry that you have. I guess what I'm taking away from that is, while that is something that has happened to you, it's not who you are, that God has given you a way to honor her and celebrate her life, and that you still have purpose in your life.
Right.
So let's talk about how you have grown since her passing. Tell me a little bit about your foundation and what you do, what its purpose is, and then any other ways that you have grown.
Sure, absolutely. I'm not the same person that I was before Alex.
What do you mean by that?
I'm a better version of myself. And I know that sounds really cliche, but I'm stronger. I am an overcomer.
Yes, you are.
I am. I because of witnessing what Alex went through, I felt like there was a surge, like she transferred all of her power, her grit and determination into my body. And we always did things together, and we still are doing things together, but I'm the human body that's representing that. The foundation that I started, it was something she wanted to do. So I'm just kind of like the conduit. I'm the person that's making it happen. We still are doing all of this together. And because of that, and because of how I see God showing up in my life every day and the blessings that he gave me, even upon Alex's passing, I'll give you a quick example. I was strapped for money, didn't know how I was going to pay for funeral costs. And her father and I were sharing the cost of that. And our share was $10,000 each. And I prayed on it and said, God, I don't know how I'm going to come up with this money, but I know it's going to happen. And I got a call the next day from a donor that heard of Alex's story and was a very devout Catholic. And I had been praying with a member of their family, the rosary, during December. And this person wanted to donate $10,000 to whatever I needed the cause to be. So that was just one example. And I could spend another hour just telling you about all the blessings. But right off the bat, you know, God knew that he needed to give me a little God wink to say, girl, I gotcha. Just keep moving forward and everything's going to be okay.
Tell me a little bit about the Alex Hudson Lyme Foundation. What do you do?
Right. So we raise money to support Lyme patients that cannot pay for their treatment. Most of the treatment with Lyme disease, unfortunately, is not covered by insurance.
Because that is crazy.
It is crazy. And it's just such a complicated disease. I mean, if you have acute Lyme, if it's, you know, you have a recent tick bite, you can be put on a round of antibiotics for maybe a month or two, and that will be covered. But unfortunately, most people, when they find out that they have Lyme disease, it's been longer than a couple of months. It's now chronic. A lot of the treatment just is not covered by insurance. So our goal is to grant, you know, Lyme patients financial resources so they can hopefully get better through the treatment that we provide. We also create a lot of awareness, education. We have fundraising events to support all of that. And now my new book that came out, My Promise to Alex, all the proceeds from that will go back into the Alex Hudson Lyme Foundation. I know that it's something that Alex is happy and pleased about, for sure.
Oh, I would bet. Do you have any connections and contact with doctors and helping educate them so that they're more aware of symptoms and treatments or research? Or I'm just curious how that works.
Yeah. So before this little thing called the pandemic happened, I was on a roll. I mean, we were doing these amazing fundraising events. I was speaking at a lot of engagements. I was starting to do continuing education classes with the medical facilities and doctors. And then COVID kind of wiped everything out. But I'm starting to reinvent myself, so to speak. And I'm going to be speaking at a couple of different conferences this month. One of them is a medical conference, which they will all be, you know, getting the book and talking more about medical gaslighting and other things that are very common with chronic illness and patients. So I'm kind of resurrecting all of that. I've had really great response from the medical community on this book. So that's really, it means so much to me because they can really see from the lens of a patient and a parent how awful this disease can be and the injustice that can happen when people are ill-equipped to handle diseases that are complicated.
I can only imagine doctors have been frustrated and medical treatment facilities have been frustrated with not really knowing the ins and outs of Lyme disease and how it affects patients and treatment options. And I'm sure that there are treatment options that are in place now that weren't available, unfortunately, when Alex was in her fight.
Oh, Melanie, so much has happened since she was diagnosed in 2017, you know, to now in 2022. And I also think because of the long haul COVID symptoms that now kind of gone into chronic illness, it's going to really help to bring about more research in these areas because a lot of these long haul COVID symptoms mask Lyme disease. So I'm hoping that we can just all come to the table and really put our heads together because we live in such a great country that we should just be able to develop these researches and treatments, right? It just boggles my mind. So I don't give up hope because I just feel like something is right around the corner.
Well, I don't think that you give up. I think that's probably where Alex got that mindset is that she learned that from you.
Yeah.
And that was one of the beautiful things about her story in your book. Time and time again, she would say, I'm really struggling, but I'm not going to give up. That is amazing fortitude, especially for someone of her age.
Oh, she was so much wiser and older than her 22 years on earth. And it was beautiful. Every time that I felt like I was giving up, she would pour into me and vice versa. Wow. So, you know, we had that incredible bond. We still have it today. But again, like I said, it's just, you know, from a heavenly place. But yeah, we leaned on each other. I mean, we were one soul for sure.
So let's spend the last few minutes talking about the mindset of growth. We've talked about the mindset of grief and working through that and not getting stuck there. Let's talk about the mindset of growth and how you have grown since her passing, not necessarily related to Lyme Foundation or anything related to her story, just in general, that you have intentionally been purposeful about.
This comes as a no-brainer, but just my growth and my walk with my faith. I just feel there's layers to our faith walk, right?
Yes.
And I feel like I'm definitely moving up the pyramid with that. And my understanding and my acceptance of things is much more in tune and I'm much more aware. Melanie, every time I go to church on the weekends, I just want to cry. And it's not a bad thing. I want to cry because I just feel that love. I feel this deeper relationship with God because of everything that I've gone through. I want to keep getting closer and closer to Him. And, you know, I definitely have done a lot more Bible studies now and just really making an intentional purpose of my group, like looking at my group and who's in my group and are they contributing? Are they taking away? I want to be in a good place with everything in my life. And I think that definitely COVID kind of allowed that to start happening a little bit. We all have so many friends, but when you have to like really scale it back down, who are your core people? Who's your core group? And I think COVID kind of redefined that for me. And that's really where I'm drawn upon my strength and my inner growth. And so, like I, you know, said before, I'm a much different person today, but I'm a better person today because I feel it. And people tell me too, you can tell when someone is in a good faith walk and that they really, there's something different about them, right?
They're radiant. I can't remember the verse, but yes. It talks about those who love and know the Lord are radiant.
And that's what I wanted my image to portray, not the grief girl, but the radiance, the light, yes, right? I wanted to be that light. And from the moment she passed until now, when I do interviews, I always think about that. Lord, let me be that light. Let me shine to give you glory and to help others recognize how important you are in my life and their life, and to, you know, bring others to you through me. So that really is where I'm at right now. And that's where my growth is all about.
I think that is such a fundamental thing that we really kind of have two choices when we face struggles, whether it's a journey of health issues or the loss of a child or any number of challenges or struggles that we face. The two choices are we can turn our back on God or we can run to him. And you've obviously, and Alex as well, you both ran to him, and that you weren't blaming him and upset with him and turning your back on him because he wasn't taking the illness away from Alex. And then when she passed, from what I'm hearing you say, again, she passed and you no longer have her. You could have turned your back again, but you chose to run to him. And now you are experiencing that closeness, that intimacy with him. From what you're saying, I'm taking away that has been a significant part of your growth spiritually, but also in every other aspect of your life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm in a really good place. I feel at peace with everything. You know, I'm not fighting anything. I just keep leaning in. And every day I'm like, all right, I've got my, you know, armor on, God. What are we doing today?
What do you see for your future as far as the foundation and your personal life? Are you going to continue to write? Are you continuing to speak? Tell me about what you hope it looks like.
Like what we're doing right now. I do not see my future writing because, like I said before, I'm not a writer at all. I mean, this truly, I think God's like, okay, girl, this was one and done. I did a divine intervention with you one time, not happening again. But as you know, I love to talk. So I, you know, really want to get out and I want to talk about the book. I want to help encourage, inspire others, motivate others. And along the way, just keep sprinkling God's goodness all around the world, because I think we all need a lot more of that.
Amen. I think that is spot on.
Yeah.
Well, Jody, it has been wonderful to spend these two interviews with you and learn about your story and Alex's story, but also to learn about your journey, how it impacted you and how God has been a significant part of that journey. What would be the takeaway about having this kind of mindset? What could you share with the listeners to encourage them?
You know, I heard this from a pastor a while ago, and I really like this expression. It's short and sweet. You know, we say so many times, oh, it is what it is, kind of like an Eeyore thing. But how about if we turn it around and make it more into a positive? It is what it is, and God is in it.
Ooh, I like that. Yep. That's great.
He's always with us. He's always in it. Even when you don't think he isn't, right? I mean, I can go back and look at so many times where I felt like, wow, God, are you out there? Do you hear me? It's all in God's timing. And that's where we have to do our part in this relationship. When we say, let go, let God, well, yeah, you know, you got to let go of that control, that surrender, but you still have to do your part to show up, and God will do his. So just always being mindful of that, you know, every day, just making sure that I'm doing my part in this relationship. He's my everything. He's my cornerstone. He's really all that we need. I mean, everything else is fluff and stuff, right?
Very well said. Couldn't agree more. Absolutely. Would you end us again with the Zigzag in One tagline?
You bet. When life zigs and zags, keep moving forward.
Friend, I have heard you talk about zigzags, maybe not using those exact words, but you have used keep moving forward quite a few times. So you and I are quite a lot alike as far as how we see challenges. And it has been a pleasure to spend time with you. And I hope that we continue to interact. Thank you, Jody.
Thank you, Melanie. I feel like I have now a new forever friend in God with you. So thank you so much.